Well, now it's past 7. I call the April 16, 2024 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and state the time.
7:01. Commissioner Bourne.
Yes.
Commissioner Covey.
Here.
Commissioner Schneider.
Here.
Commissioner Spector.
Here.
President Sprain.
Here. Agenda item A3, our routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items? Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
Second. Throwing me off.
All in favor?
Aye.
I think we have to do a roll call on this. Oh,
yeah. For the consent agenda?
Yep.
We did for the other one. Okay. All right. Roll call.
It's a different one because it has three different ones in there. Sorry. Okay. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Sprain?
Yes.
Yes.
We need to swear our rules of order here. Okay, great. Local efficiency members or members of the public, if you have any comments, feel free to make them at this time. Otherwise, I think it's going to make you move on to the next agenda item, the 2024-2025 Budget and Appropriations Ordinance number 961. The Budget and Appropriations Ordinance, or BAO, has been on public display for the required 30-day period. I declare this public hearing open to discuss the BAO. Lisa, would you please give me a brief summary?
Absolutely. Ordinance number 961 is an ordinance making a combined annual budget and appropriation for funds for the Glencoe Park District for fiscal year beginning March 1st, 2024. The BAO establishes the board's legal spending limits for various funds and line items within the annual budget. It does not reflect the board's intention to spend, only its capacity. The annual budget remains the financial tool which guides the district to which the board holds its staff accountable. There have been no changes to the amount approved at the board meeting. Once approved, we will file our BAO with the county well in advance of the May 31st deadline.
Okay, members of the public were able to email or phone in comments on the BAO. Each receptor received any public comments received on the BAO.
There is no comment submitted.
Okay, if any members of the public would like to comment here? No? Okay, so this public hearing closed. Sorry. All right. We're going to take action on this item then. Okay, approval of ordinance number 961. An ordinance making a combined annual budget and appropriation of funds for the Glencoe Park District for fiscal year beginning March 1st, 2024. I entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 961, an ordinance making a combined annual budget appropriation of funds for Glencoe Park District for the fiscal year beginning March 1st, 2023, as presented.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Sprain?
Yes. Motion passes. For the next resolution, this person is
he's not here. He did. He did not want to be present.
Okay.
I'd say he's kind of shy. So,
if all right. You're on the record.
That's right.
Okay. Next item is approval of resolution.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Number 962 for Max Barrios, 15 years of service. And this one, yes. Okay. Whereas Maximia Barros was employed by the Glencoe Park District staff of the Parks and Facilities team beginning on March 26, 2009. Whereas Maximia has been a vital part of the Parks and Facilities maintenance team in which she has, over the years, provided selfless leadership, exceptional patience, mentorship, unparalleled commitment, exceedingly hard work, and a thoughtful approach to the upkeep of the Glencoe Park District facilities. Whereas his service, passion, proficient equipment skills, and years of experience maintaining valued assets like the Take the Community Center, Adam and Paul Snapbarn Beach House, and Weinberg Family Recreation Center, were vital to the continuation of our Glencoe Gems, Mayor Jeanette Camino has been a role model, passing out skills that acknowledge our younger staff that by perpetuating the level of excellence required to keep our parks and facilities in prime condition for the community. Whereas she is an integral part of the Park District, we were awarded the 2019 NRPA National Gold Medal for Excellence. Were finalists for the gold medal in 2017 and 2018, and became an IPRA, IAPD, Distinguished Accredited Agency for the first time in the district's history. Whereas, Maximino served in person during the 2020 to 2023 COVID-19 pandemic by keeping our parks open and clean for the Glencoe community to enjoy the outdoor spaces. Whereas, Maximino has served the Glencoe Park District in a loyal and faithful manner for 15 years. And now, therefore, be it resolved, the Glencoe Park District Board of Commissioners, representing all the residents of the Park District, recognize the meritorious service of Maximino Barrios that is recorded in the permanent records of the Glencoe Park District for all to see. This resolution shall be in full force and in effect immediately upon its passage. Okay. So it's going to be adopted the 16th day of April 2024, pursuant to roll call as follows. Okay, before we vote on this, any discussion?
So I need a motion and a second first.
Okay, you need a motion and a second first. All right. I entertain a motion to approve resolution number 962.
So moved.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne? Mr. Covey?
Yes.
Mr. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. Motion passes. Anyone would like to make any further comments? Okay. All right. So moving on. 1 month of fiscal year is complete. Lisa will provide a brief synopsis of the reports.
Great. John and Kyle are not here this evening because they're at a school in Indiana, Parks and Recreation Executive Development Program. So you're stuck with me and Bobby in here. So, 1 month into the fiscal year, not much to mention. Deferred revenue adjustments are not yet reflected in the recreation program revenue. This will be caught up next month. Voting revenue will also catch up next month due to timing related to billing. So is there any further questions?
Two things. One, the recreation department, that is a reallocation. That's why the numbers are so different year over year. Kind of a question for
The deferred revenue is not.
So we recommend it on a cash basis and then convert it to fiscal year's account revenue.
Got it. And then my other question is, why are expenses at focus on the budget now?
Great question. So the two bills haven't hit yet.
Okay.
One of them is the food bill, and then the other is the health insurance premium. So it's like just over $20,000.
Okay.
We've also had some full-time positions that we're vacant too. So it looks to be a lot larger surplus than it is, but that will catch up. We'll probably get two bills in the next month for health insurance.
I, for one, would be happier, and I don't know if you can do this, if you guys have those things and they're effectively accrued for, I don't mind if you put them in. I don't know if you can, but like, you have to
know
that, like, if we're talking like a day or two, and the numbers are kind of funny.
Yeah, I'm not sure you do.
Yeah.
I would check with John.
Yeah, we'll check with John, but
I would be surprised if you couldn't put it in that account to follow up with him.
Maybe that footnote would be helpful.
A footnote, yeah. But yes, that question is a very good catch. I'm trying to see if you read it.
If you did footnote A, which I didn't look at, we'll look at it. But the other one is kind
of
curious about it. Okay. I think they would
believe, but yep.
That was just their timing.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask a silly question?
Yeah.
Why are there expenses? What are the expenses for the voting department at this time?
So that's going to be salaries and supplies, so a full-time year-round employees.
Oh, okay. So you just, even though they may not be attending to voting because of part of their salary is dedicated.
They're planning and, yeah.
Okay.
And then supplies for each of the order. March 1st is a lot of order, a lot of supplies.
All right, next item on the agenda is an update on Beyond the Base.
Great. Erin, I'm going to throw this to Erin. Erin's been doing a lot of the work with our consultant from Beyond the Base, and so she's going to present the correspondence that we would like to put out to the community to gauge the interest of a possible referendum and the project.
Yeah, so in front of you, you have the letter and an attachment that has been incorporated a lot of prior panel changes, especially when we have the
sits on the side
that this room falls apart.
Very nice.
The one thing I'm sure they really would image is they're kind of small on the handout. And they're deliberately vague, because we're not going to use anything. We haven't had any input session in the board meeting. We should ask the
So the, just to for Bob Nicole's reference, the board talked about different potential referendum projects. So we have the take-up debt that's going to roll off. So we have an opportunity to take care of some of our deferred maintenance in the park district without raising the tax rate. So we'll just pass a referendum. It wouldn't go down, but it wouldn't go up. It would just stay even. So we have a potential to do a lot of deferred maintenance that we don't have the funds to do otherwise. So the board discussed what those projects would be and made sure that it was a project that was for the whole community, not just one segment. So they looked at all of our projects. So
the aim is really to preserve what we have and not create new. Here you can see the beach, the dinghy that's looking here. It's really not a design playground, it's a placeholder.
A concept. Yeah, so people should get stuck on, and we put out throughout the flyer, if you saw it, you know, conceptual. Each phase will have community meetings attached to it. So we would still have, for example, our dinghy that's out there, the boat that shoots water. We won't have a full spray ground, which is really hard to do down at the beach, but we will have at least the dinghy and maybe one other component. But we're recommending moving the playground closer to the boardwalk. The reason is it's open sight lines right to the water. It's better for the lifeguards and for reaction. And then we're able to have better ADA accessibility by doing that. Any questions on that one? Oh, could you go back one more?
I still am of the opinion that I think people are going to get caught up on the images and they might have strong feelings about it.
I did when I first thought, I was like, oh, a couple things. But like you said, they're not.
So how do we, because we have to show something, but that's obviously not the playground because we haven't invented it yet. We're also looking at a new top for the terrace, and we didn't really show that high level because we're looking at different options. How do we do that?
I thought maybe just to a few bullet points exactly what you said, like key things for focusing on location change, increased pipeline, and maybe accessibility, and then say concept.
I think in the publishing world, we put SPO on our images that are for placement only. So, like, we could say something like for conceptual purposes only and put it in, like, a yellow square box, something like that.
So, on the back of the handout, every single image says conceptual rendering underneath.
I don't think if I were not in this conversation, I personally think I would think conceptual is like, oh, this is what they're planning on doing. I don't think I would think, oh, this is just an idea.
So what do you mean? Because the board decided we wanted to do the playground down here, right?
Yeah,
so
we didn't decide what we wanted it to look like or what equipment. Usually when we do playground design, right, there's options.
There definitely will be. So how do we show that on here, but still show we're doing a playground without being any more vague?
I mean, the only way to do it is, like, take it out and just literally put, like, playground, the word playground in a box or, like, on a beach ball or something. Like, if you really don't want to show something, you can't show anything.
So they're watercolor, right? They're supposed to really. So the consultant recommended having these watercolor images.
That's better. People can envision what their money's going to.
Something.
Right.
So they're supposed to be really vague.
It's not big. And, you know, but the thing is, like, it's going to depend on the person. Some people are going to be like, oh, I get it. It's in social, we float it.
Yeah.
And some people are not going to go stuck on it. But, you know, like the other ones, I don't think you have as much of an issue. Probably this one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Could you just say conceptual preliminary rendering? I mean, that is really clear that it's not full plan. If people aren't comfortable with conceptually, you could add the word preliminary after that as well.
Yeah,
I think it's a placeholder. You're thinking placeholder. That would trigger me to say, okay, that they're just.
Look, I've put this is a placeholder.
I mean, there's a line right there to say.
Yeah,
it's somewhere
in the line.
Right.
Hey, that's
right.
Right. Not
that's
like
different.
It's very
interesting. Yeah. We're just putting it plain and simple. This is not a final rendering. This is not a final drawing.
Sorry.
Something as simple as
it says that, Millie.
It does, but it's
just like
bolded,
but like.
It says nothing is set in stone until further
than
it there.
Then there you go. And I think that's what. I didn't look at that.
So for the playground is your biggest concern.
Yeah.
So if we put something on here, playground equipment is still to be determined or something like that?
Yeah.
You know, I think people just have sentimental value in the beach changing. I don't know, maybe that's my gut reaction, is that, you know, we've been playing it for years, we're used to it. It's so such an abrupt change from what's there now. I think that versus the other, like that's I think that's just kind of the reaction.
So what do you mean by abrupt change? Just because it was moved over, or
it's a really big structure. I love like all the water equipment that's there. So much fun, and it's
that, and that'll still be there.
So the one thing that for me just triggered a change, and maybe this is not going to be just an acceptable part, is getting rid of being like just into the sand. Like, having to deal with that, do we always do that?
Safety surface,
you have to have some kind of safety surface down.
Is it there now?
There is under certain four parts of it. Yes.
Yeah.
Because this just looks much more prominent, like, not as much sand. So that was just my only.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the behind is sand or not, but it's also ADA. You have to, the laws have changed since we put it in, so we have to allow for ADA accessibility for any new amenity we put in.
Okay, I just
have
a question.
Yeah.
I mean,
is that sand or no?
It looks like
so
it's deliberately
dead.
We actually designed it.
So it looks like it's all sand, but it's not
because it's. That's what it's meant to be. If they say, we really want sand in this area, but under our fall zones, we have to have that. That's where the input process. And remember, this is going to go out, and then we're going to have community meetings for discussion, so we can further talk about it and tell people, well, this is, you know, obviously we're going to get this kind of response, which is great, but I don't know how else to show them that we're going to do a playground without. Because that playground's past its useful life, so.
I mean, in here, it's not as obvious. You don't really focus on that scene.
I agree.
But when you blow it up, people are going to think, well, we're taking away so much sand. They're going to have to do that. But I put in this picture up here, you know.
So.
It's probably the people, too. Like, you don't see it, like, you're expanding the beach. Right. On the other side. This is the angle where.
Is the color on people?
I'm personally shocked at how much you are all looking into this. I have to tell you, it baffles me. This looks, I think, what Jordan said is perfectly acceptable, not a final rendering. I don't see what you guys are seeing. And sorry.
I understand that. I agree that you're going to get a lot of people who just see it. You know, they think this is it because they don't read, like, I clearly didn't read the top. But, I mean,
I think, what you
I think there's maybe more of it. It is what it is, like, you got to show them something.
We're going to have a ton of comments. No matter, there's nothing that we're going to put up here that the 9 of us or 10 of us in this room are going to look at and be like,
no.
Oh my god, this hits the mark. Because our residents are going to comment, there's not enough sand, there's not enough, you know, safe place to fall. there is not enough ADA, there's too much ADA, there's not enough sightline.
Shade,
Personally, I think this is sufficient with a thing, and if someone, let's find out what the community thinks. Something out there and get a reaction.
I would highlight the last part of our thought, nothing about the service, so
or bold, yeah,
bold it.
Bold it or put a highlight,
yellow
highlight.
Bold
it.
The last sentence, they want you to underline.
Highlight, yeah, and then I would also move the picture and I had to do the picture.
Okay, we can do that.
That's a good point.
Put it in the middle.
And then maybe on that one we put playground still to be designed or something.
What would you put as the first picture? Because that's the one that is the most impactful.
I don't know, but the other ones of each one is nice.
The prom and voting beach? People are
that one is also
nice. Yeah.
You always focus on the first one.
Why don't we go through all of them and then we can decide?
Yeah, there you go.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Was this the folks that put this together with their beyond
the base? Yeah,
the beyond the base. Did they order these?
Yes.
Yep.
So they know this stuff?
We did say we wanted the beach stuff first.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We thought that was more important.
Yeah.
They ordered the images, but on the previous slide, all the bullet points we started with the beach.
Did they have a recommendation on what to go first? Or?
It started with the Bowie Beach.
Which we next. We didn't want to start that one.
That does not hit as many people.
It's too niche, so we kind of brought that down. We just switched it around from the others.
I personally think this is more than satisfactory.
Yeah, I think my concern was just that I think I had kind of a, like, the most feedback on that one, and I didn't want people to be able to, their first impression of it to be one where they didn't like their initial direction.
So this one we actually cropped in the color.
Well, that color on this one, personally,
So we wanted to be able to see that it's more like a flat wood on the shelters. Grills, built-in digging sand areas, knee walls, all of this would be really excited by the mix. This is what it could be.
Wait, that's a guy grilling.
What?
That's
yeah.
A guy grilling.
Yeah.
We don't have grills there now,
do we? Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do. Oh my gosh, that's like the best thing.
Yeah. So these areas give a little more privacy that we've heard that people encroach onto the different areas and they want to have a little picnic and they want a little privacy. So those wood slats let air flow through, which still allow that. And then the little knee walls mimic the rest of the architecture throughout the beach and give a little privacy.
Seating, last picnic table?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, do you have, let's say the community is like, oh my god, this is awesome, yay, yay, blah, blah. Do you have funds to do all of these?
We have not done a deep dive into the building because we don't want to spend that money until we know if a referendum will pass. So these are all conceptual plans. They'll have to be vetted, but we think there will be enough, yes. Okay.
We call it ROMs, and we're talking ROMs here. Rough order of magnitude. Because I would hate to put this, but my only fear is if we're not being 100% truthful with our constituents. We put this out there, we say, hey, look, and let's imagine that somehow Glencoe miraculously is like, oh my god, these are all great, let's go for it, and then we come and we're like, oh, I'm sorry, we can only do 3 out of 5.
Well, I like to qualify that with if the scope does not escalate. So if they come in and say, also, and they want a whole splash pad park in the beach, but just the basic designs that we have now, they're doable, yes.
Yeah, the design's on here.
Yep.
If inflation doesn't go up by X percent, we will have enough funds to get these done. Now, if the community comes back and says, oh, I want, the sun shelters to have air conditioning in them, and that costs $1 million more, then we have to say, okay, we want that, then we don't do this. I'm fine with that, but at a minimum, we have to do this with the funds, otherwise we look a little foolish, in my opinion.
And I do have a concern in terms of, interest rates aren't coming down as anticipated a few months ago, so are there any changes to how much you think you can
We won't have that final number, so he's John's saying either between 14.5 and 8, and he won't know until closer to the time.
Okay.
our luck, big part.
And the expanded footprint is accommodate our growing aquatic camps. I know, it's a little different than what it is now, right?
Like
a
taxi lot.
No rocks.
No rocks.
Always a sunset. This would be moving the greenhouse from the Antigua. Potentially a Chelsea Park.
Moving it or?
No, just really a new one.
Okay, yes.
Not moving it.
Yeah, story built.
At Shelton Park, there's some areas for gathering, teaching, learning, maybe some programs there. Where in Shelton Park? At the garden, potentially?
Like behind, or where in relation to the playground?
Behind the playground, alongside where the community garden is.
Oh, like by the train track?
Yeah, so we're trying to work, that's village property, so we're trying to work out an agreement to lease that land to put the greenhouse there. If not, if we can't work that out, it would be in Shelton Park, probably alongside of the playground. But in that area. Yes, and we would bring the snow. It would still be part of it. It would still be piled snow, and then we provide a different location for the snow.
Last one.
This is ingenious. It's beautiful.
It's
beautiful. The most expensive part is the back.
But a real bug out, you know, real scene.
What was it?
Is that the
pickleball court? That would be the maintenance area.
So you see how bad it is.
Have you seen how bad it is back there? Yeah. Bob is too. Yeah, it's so bad. And so it's really a very simple maintenance garage area. There's a lot of bells and whistles. There's a shower in there, so that's our bells.
For this one, does the wiring, it includes taking down light, putting new lighting, right? Or is it just the wiring?
New poles.
New poles, okay.
We have new lights ready. But the poles,
And for what it's worth, 15 years ago, we went to the maintenance areas and knew we had to do something about it.
Right.
So, I saw something about potentially indoor batting cages.
Yes. So what we do is we put it on see where the little doors are for the maintenance. It would be right there along that side. So we put, it wouldn't be huge. It'd be one or two batting cages attached to the maintenance, but see where the little sidewalk leads to it, so that we'd be able to have that opportunity. And if someday it's not a popular amenity, then we can roll it into storage or do something else. So that's why it's not standalone. It's so that we can do it, yeah. They've been asking for that for a long time, so it'd be, the right length for softball and baseball, so we have both. And this would be, we put vaguely in, we don't know if it's artificial turf or real turf, but it would be available for softball and baseball. And we would get rid of the old buildings, so that would be nice.
This is just a handout you guys already have.
So let's go back to the playground. See how small it is on there. Just show it on the thing. When you see it big, I know you're concerned. Let's go to small, just the handout itself. You had it on there. There. And the one that's in front of you. So that's what people get. What can we put underneath to alleviate the concern about the playground? Like, do we have to put, conceptual design not complete, will include new playground, shade structure, ADA, and spray features?
Yeah, spray features are like...
Would that help?
Fun and different.
Yeah, it's good. Those aren't moving because that's where the piping's all there. It's behind that playground, so those will stay. So maybe we have to call out spray features.
Yeah.
AKA keeping the, maybe we can say keeping the iconic dinghy. Maybe that would help so that people know that we're not taking, because I agree, we don't want to take that away. People love that.
Yeah.
And we have those other water things. We would have stuff like that too.
I think that was my concern, is I couldn't see
them. You couldn't see them. So let's write it out. Let's say this will include... Is that enough feedback, Erin?
No, yeah, but we already said that.
Where?
Yeah,
it does.
I don't think it's worth it to redo the whole drawing, but the one thing, I think if it had come from the other angle, then it would be a juvenile, a lot of sand.
Gotcha.
That's
a really good feedback for when we, because this is just getting input from the community to whether we should do a referendum. Everybody's like, oh, we want this, but then we show the design the other way in the final pieces, informational pieces. Does that make sense? I don't know if we have a angled other way, do we?
You could do like a 45 looking down, see.
But they'd have to redraw that, which wouldn't be, yeah.
I would still change it. Maybe instead of not being set in stone, like no designs are set in stone until further. Like
there you go.
Yeah, and bold it.
More descriptive and highlight it.
No design is set in stone until, yeah, let's put that on there. It's a great one. And bold it. And then underneath it, maybe highlight these spray features. And maybe put in parentheses, keeping the dinghy. Their boat is
it's that important?
Oh, it is. Yeah, oh, I know. You don't take.
Where
you don't
spend
take
your time. That's what we do.
You don't take iconic pieces away. So maybe we get. So you both felt that. So let's get ahead of that and say, equipment width, and keeping the current dinghy spray feature or something like that, and adding more or something like that. You guys can work on this.
And then the bottom is like, yeah, it's hard to press.
Can't take the thing away. I think the same thing happened when they took the dolphin. There used to be a dolphin down there.
You still hear about it.
Yeah, I still hear about the dolphin. So maybe it's a new dinghy, but there's a dinghy down there. Okay. So maybe somewhere, maybe you can ask Paul. Does everybody agree about switching it?
I just don't think it should be the first one if they're going to focus on it.
Okay, that's a good idea. And the wording sounded good to you in the letter form that everybody has? Did everybody get a chance to look at the changes? Bart had a good one. He really thought we should highlight that whole side on your right, but that's a really good addition. So.
I like the first sentence, which says these are looking for thoughts and recommendations on a possible bond referendum that may appear. So it is right. Very conditional. It's not like this is coming, this is definite.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would imply that nothing's like set in stone.
Okay, good. So a really big part of this is the community input portion of it. So we put down 4 meetings. After talking today, we changed the very first one to a virtual one. So that way we'll do it and we'll do a virtual and then show the designs and maybe get more input so more people can participate that way if they can't get out of their house. And then we have 3 three other meetings right now scheduled. We'll also be doing individual meetings with different community groups. For example, the Friends of Green Bay Trail Community Garden, we'll talk about with them about the greenhouse, the baseball, you know, beach. So we'll continue to get different feedback. We would love to have one or two board members at each of those meetings. No more than two, though, because then we have to post it and have public meetings. So if you're interested in any of those, please let us know. I think it's very impactful from when it comes from the board to hear that input. So just let us know. We try to do a variety of times for people to meet. And if we see a lot of impact where people don't feel they're heard, we can always add more as we go on, which we will throughout the fall up to the election if the board decides that. The board would have to make a decision by August if they would like to go for referendum. A lot of times people travel in August, so maybe hopefully we could decide if we want to go for referendum in July, so that way we're set to go and know where we're going. So the purpose of these community impacts is to draw out if people are interested in this proposition, to put it on the ballot, if they're supportive. Any questions?
I think moving to July would be better.
Yeah, I think so too, right?
I know we're traveling in August.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll shoot for that then.
Yeah,
Nicole and Bob, do you have any questions? This is your first time seeing this. You know, we're doing the board meeting a little bit different, but
no, good. I think when I looked at it, it all makes sense to me. Now, whether or not it can be done is something you guys can figure out as
yeah.
you go along. But and as you know, I've often thought that the voting community, particularly if we're more local than they should be inside. But I've recently been down to that section of the beach walking, and it's clear that some things need to be done to enhance it, to make it better. And that's really true of the overall beach. You know, the facility, you couldn't get inside it, but I've been there, I don't know how many times. And it's a little old, so whatever you guys can do to make it better for the community, I think the community will support.
And some of these, back to you, Michael, we'll also use some of our funds too to make some of this happen. So it's the referendum funds plus our own, the money we set aside plus any grants that we'll try for.
I just don't want to bait switch and be proposition. So have to.
I think one thing we didn't picture is the inside of the saffron, because we don't know how much that would cost. So that's one of the ones probably lower on the list as we finish some of these other.
You just,
we just showed the old, you know, that we'll be doing. We didn't promise. Yeah,
bathroom.
Yeah.
I think makes a lot more sense because it's dirty there.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that's the case, by the way, you should put that in
the
there.
The park district is pretty much done with the projects.
Yes.
There's
always going to be Friends Park will have to be done, but we'll have all the major projects done.
I think that's one of the ways to present it to the public.
Yeah.
You guys were able to get a tremendous amount of support from the state and from the Weinberg family to be able to do the Weinberg Center. We've been able to do the Tavis Center, and that was a long, drawn-out project where we had to sort of slow down some of the other projects to make it a reality. This is sort of the last major piece, and then for a long time, there's going to be all these upgrades.
Right.
But it won't be like you're going back to the public and saying, hey, we didn't do this.
Correct.
And now we've got to do it.
I'm trying to emphasize that we're taking care of what we have, not building new, right? And so you don't see, for example, a swimming pool there. You don't see things that we don't already have. We're concentrating on fixing what we have and not
preserving
what we have instead of adding new, which is important to do right now.
And actually, as we're looking at all these different upgrades, I'm seeing, like, I can picture people in the community, these are serving, like, specific groups that would want to do some of these. Like, I know the baseball community is really having the indoor. I've heard that, you know, both in some of the focus group meetings and just talking to people. The voting people are going to be very excited about the Green Bay Trail. The planters will be super excited about So I think you guys can.
Yeah.
Not just one thing.
No.
Yeah, for everything.
You're going to make a lot of moves that maybe the dog park people might not be active. I don't have a dog.
I did have people come up, a couple people say to me, I saw a lot of questions about a swimming pool in the survey. Are we getting a swimming pool? So that is probably...
That would have to be a totally different referendum. So this one is just keeping what we have.
Usually when I say that's the money pit, people go, let it go. But
I had somebody come up to me and say, you single-handedly destroyed the dog park, the possibility of the dog park. And I said, I wasn't even on the board.
You weren't.
If I had that much power.
You weren't on the board at that time. There's just no place to put it.
It is a room.
My gosh, we got a dog park for them, just not in Glencoe.
Well, I'm there 3 times a week, so yeah. You know how I feel about it.
Yeah.
But I stopped at it, and I do go to Lawrenceburg, but...
We could pass a referendum and, get the Hoover Estate and put it there. All right, any other questions on this? Jordan, do you have anything? I interrupted you before.
Oh, no, I was just saying, did you say you wanted a couple people at these four meetings or whatever?
Yep, I do.
The first one in Nazoo?
Yep.
I haven't updated that here yet.
That has not been, no, we just decided that, yeah. Yeah. We're still, I'm hearing from our different park districts that they're still very successful with their virtual meetings.
The May 1, Jordan, it was Park Train Day.
You can't do the 5th? Carol can't do the 5th?
I can do any of them except the 18th.
So are we going to be out there with the train gate?
Yep.
Yeah. Probably in a tent. Near it.
So I'll send out an email closer to time to see who can make which one. So, okay. So now you two have been blessed. You have more information, so if anybody asks you questions, you can answer it now. Okay. Thank you so much for the feedback. That's great. Appreciate it. Very helpful. Okay. Now, I got this wrong. Now we go to...
I got this wrong, and I
looked over 12 times. Jenny's not here, for soon. So now we have the present. It's not on the agenda memo, but it's on the agenda. The Weinberg Family Recreation Center ICE report. So, turn it over, Bobby. Sorry,
right?
I'm like I looked it over 12 times. And,
right. So good evening, everybody. Looks like we're going to talk about the Weinberg Family Recreation Center, specifically around the ice rink operation. Introduce Shannon Stevens, who's our facility manager for both the boating, swimming, and the ice rink. She was our first year in the job. The ice rink was a phenomenal job from the team with the new facility renovated. So thank you to Shannon and our team. So tonight, we're just going to review the season itself, staff and training, our special events that we held, some data related to the season operation, financial comparison, some feedback we received from pass holders, and then future considerations.
So jumping into it, the ice rink season ran from November 24th to February 26th with 7 days of access. We offered season passes, daily admissions, as well as guest passes, and then some activities that we have showing for open skate, open hockey, open for golf, private rentals, special events, as well as skating and hockey classes. Some special events that we just wanted to highlight. On December 6th, we were able to host our grand opening for the new facility to celebrate all the hard work that went into it, as well as honor the Weinberg family for the name change, as well as the Watts family. Some other special events that we have was the Black Rock Night, Boat Skate, and Sub-Zero Shenanigans, which is formerly known as Possible Zero. This year, it was an all-team effort to get the rink open from park staff to our renovation crew, marketing, customer service. I just want to take this moment to say thank you to everyone, rack managers, the admin team of the building furniture. This is all team effort to get the building open for on time. We also had some preseason training, as well as in-service trainings for our staff, from Zamboni drivers to skate guards and party attendants. We work closely with the parks and maintenance staff for ice maintenance, snow removal, as well as all the facility maintenance, cleaning overnight, and all the fun stuff that comes along with our work. So overview of the fees. We offer an all-access pass for residents this year. It was $63. For non-residents, it was $126. With that pass, they were able to add on a 5-day guest pass. So for residents, that was $50, and then non-residents, $75. And then for the daily admissions, this year residents did pay $12. There's a slight increase in non-residents, so it's $20. And then skate rentals will maybe stay at $5 per pair. For daily admissions, we saw a slight decrease in residents, but an slight increase in non-residents. So it kind of balanced each other out and kept our totals the same. For revenue, we did see a slight increase in non-residents, and it was due to the increase in the price for the daily admission. For our daily attendance, we saw about a 27% increase from the previous year. So just due to the new excitement around the rink, as well as our high demand over hockey hours, that kind of drove our daily attendance up. So our average visits by day, over the years, you can see on the chart here that Monday through Thursday, our numbers tend to stay low and the same with offering the daily admissions. And then on the weekends, with our current pass model, we still see those high numbers on Saturdays and Sundays. With all of that said, our current model helps us with the overcrowding in the rink between the open hockey and open skate. For open hockey in the main, we're only allowed 40 skaters at a time. And then for when you switch to the studio, it's only about 20 skaters that we can put on during those individual times. You know, it all leads back to safety and keeping our participants safe. So, yeah. And we saw that in the next. For season passes, we saw an increase over last year. And this is really in revenue and sales, our pass, individual pass sales. This is really due to non-resident interest at the rink. For average pass sales, I do want to note in the board packet this was incorrect, so we did update it and change it here, so this is the correct information. But we have seen an increase in the average pass visits, more in line with previous numbers, but the break even for our pass is about 5 visits. So they are meeting the value of that pass when they're visiting the rink and purchasing it. Some demographics, about 68% of our pass holders this year were residents. That was compared to last year, we had about 76. Once we looked into these numbers, we saw that resident sales were in line with last year, but what we saw an increase was is the non-resident passes as well as guest passes. So that's adjusted the numbers a little bit. For the pass age breakdown, about 69% of our users are ages 0 to 18, with 31% being 11 to 18. So that kind of hits that targeted market, our audience that we're getting for the teen programming. We're reaching those kids who aren't in our traditional after school programming, but they do have an outlet to use our ice. For our skating classes, we have seen a slight decrease across the board over the last 4 years. We saw a peak enrollment during when we had that huge demand for outdoor programming, the only thing that was really going on. And now that everything's kind of back in full swing, we're seeing the trend go low. And with our skating classes, we see that once we advance those participants into a more intense classes, they tended to choose the year on facilities for the continuity of just always having the same place to go to. And then our hockey success is really in line with the Blackhawks. If they're doing good, we see more kids coming out, but as you all know, they're not going to do hockey this past season. So we did see that dramatically.
So the facility rental side, you'll notice that we declined in hockey rentals this year. Kind of goes back to about 4 years ago. You'll see Winnetka Hockey, we did about 26,000, and that went to 14,000. They were suffering some demand issues from their house program and basically declined their enrollment. So those spots they gave back to us And we were able to fill those in the last couple of years with some permanent renters who used Highland Park. Highland Park was closed, staffing to some significant repairs, but they have now reopened. So we weren't able to fill some of those spots, which are the kind of early evening spots. But something we're looking at for next year to see if we can find more permanent renters to keep that revenue up. The good news for our householders is when we aren't renting it, we do open up a public skate and open shoot. So room rentals across the board have been pretty consistent compared to last year, but we're definitely seeing some weakness in that hockey rental or those ice parties. Overall, on the financial performance, the one highlighted in the kind of bright yellow here is the projected, and the one on the right to it is the budget. So we're at $43,000 on the budget, which is great. We've had some additional revenue come in, some stronger passes and daily admissions. We saw some reduced expenses related to some maintenance costs that we couldn't put in the budget because when you open up the seasonal ice rink, you don't know what you're going to uncover. We had some surprises in the year. And we saw a little bit of weakness, as Shannon said, in the skating classes, so that excess revenue expenses were a little lower than expected, by about 7,000. But we do try to target that deficit of 100 to 150,000, which has been kind of over the last 10 years, where that deficit has been, and we're trying to make sure that's not growing, because as you know, one of the big challenges is deficit with inflation, we continue to grow. So we're very cautious to try to maintain that, but obviously you have to build in maintenance expenses that come up, and then the seasonal weather issues and the demand issues.
So next we're going to talk about our survey results. So at the end of the season, we sent out a survey to everyone. We got about 85 responses this year. And then, so something that we did want to highlight, like overall experience in the excellent category, we were able to increase that about 28%, and that's something my team and I are very proud of.
28 points.
28 points.
Okay, 50%, which is bad.
For the value of the ice cream pass, for a year-to-year feedback, the value of the ice cream excellent area has stayed consistent, but due to the increase of non-residents filling out survey and purchasing the passes, we saw the very good kind of fluctuate. And this was noted in the comments of, you know, the non-resident pass being a little bit better, being higher than the resident. But they are meeting that break-even point about those visits. For our amenities across the board, we increased in the excellent category from parking all the way to the studio and maintenance. So that is just some great feedback right there. And then the last slide for the survey is the another area of improvement was our ice cream staff in the excellent category, just another increase across the board. From the friendliness to the safety of the skaters, it's something that, you know, we really strive for.
Okay, sure. The safety one is and different from the others. Do people think that kids are skating too fast or there's not enough discipline on there, or that?
Okay. Yeah, it's mostly that. The age groups and open hockey and things like that was just noted, so just more feedback for the staff to improve those areas.
I think Shannon may talk about it. We may look at the schedule a little bit if it was designated on a few 10 times or a few 12 times.
Yeah.
One of the challenges we have is it's really great on the weekends, but you have big groups coming in and they want to get on the ice, and sometimes they don't overpower some of the younger kids. So
yeah.
I think holding to it that this is, you know, a few 10 times will probably help with some of that.
And still very, like, still have 78% of it or above, but it's the only one that kind of closes that, you know, and
those were the comments we got from the survey, too.
But as you see in the survey, we want to continue to do what we're doing well and make it.
welcoming experience out to the rink. Anyone have any questions?
It is probably the hardest job that we have is managing the beach and managing the rink. You're taking it on with a bright smile and such enthusiasm. When I go there, I always spy on new people. The staff seems to be really happy. They love the new facility. You know, thank the job for out there.
Shannon excels at staff development and hiring the right staff. That's one for strengths, without a doubt. Any other questions? Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you.
You guys, you don't have to stay for the whole thing if you don't want to. Those are the two cool things. Thank you.
Right.
Appreciate you staying.
So, are we on the executive director report?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Okay. Yes, executive director report. So, just want to highlight, I guess, John, that he was selected as one of this year's ICPAS Distinguished Service Award recipients. So we're very proud of his involvement, and he's very much sought after in those roles. So congratulations, John. And then we have other park updates, or staff updates. We did fill the administrative assistant role, but in a different way. As staff really looked at, which we do every time there's a change, in the staff, we look at should the role stay exactly as it is, or should it evolve based on our evolving needs? And myself and my administrative team felt that it was time to evolve that to a different type role. Obviously, a big part of it is being the administrative assistant, but no longer does administrative assistant keep my calendar or really write my correspondence or answer the phone or things like that. So, and made room for some of these special projects that we need people to take a lead on. So after we really looked at the position, edited the job description, we discovered we had a perfect internal candidate. And we looked at external also, but Erica Rosa Topp, she did a similar job in Evanston as administrative coordinator. She has a lot of expertise in rec track and just Excel and some of those technical areas. She's also a resident environmental staff member, so this will give her a little bit more time to do that also. So she'll still be in charge of the green team, the bees, and then hopefully develop curriculum so that the teachers can have a curriculum to learn more about the bees, so they can like train the trainer type thing. But DA, we need help on that. CAPRA, when we do that, so just gives that a little more organized administrative support. And she will also oversee that we have four internal committees. She won't be on all of them. She'll be the liaison that reports back to the administrative team, so we kind of know what's going on. Those teams kind of keeping them on track, something just to organize those different venues. So very excited to have her on board. She's very excited to come in to start a different chapter in her recreation and park and rec career. So she will stay in her youth role for 3 weeks for sure, and then she'll slowly transition over to this role, training the new person when they come on. But we've already started advertising for that role. So
did Erica cover camp, summer camp?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Kids Club.
In Kids Club. She did an excellent job in that role, too. Yeah.
What's the timing of that, obviously?
We're very good shape in terms of organization. We prepared. So when we transitioned the last time out, we had camps that summer. So those back comes next Monday. And he comes back next Monday. So.
And we had some really good returning staff,
so
also.
We had some returning staff. Yes.
Yes.
So she's been with us for a number of years. So we have a lot of institutional knowledge that we're good. Leon, we have support now with Ashley too. So I think we're very happy to see Erica continue to grow, and we'll definitely try to maintain the best quality as we can to get the candidate there. And we can do fresh ideas as well.
I personally think that's a better placement for her, so I think it's a good choice.
So I think she likes that too, so it works out perfect. Yeah, we're able to keep a very high quality person, give her, expand her career. So thank you. We talked about that already. L6 Technology officially took over as our district's IT. I have to say they're doing a phenomenal job already. We're going to have some growing pains, and we all know that. But we're very, very pleased with their level of service and responsiveness overall. So continue to give us some grace as we go through some of these things and work out some of the bugs and maybe fix some of the things that were maybe set up in a different way. So. Aaron's been extremely busy for marketing communications this time of year. Is always really busy with camp and the beach publications, and she has her new part-time assistant started last week. Time goes by. They have begun to set up the pickleball courts at Weinberg, so we'll see those up and running within the next couple weeks. We believe the freezing temps are over, so the water service is being turned back on at our parks and things like that. So, and he turned it over to Bobby to give some updates in his area.
And you may have read in the report just an update on the early childhood DLC programming. Obviously, we talked last time about there being low enrollment in the 3-4. So at this point, we've kind of been seeing one kind of attraction we're getting tours and things in general. We're hearing a lot of parents saying they don't have the flexibility to do that half day anymore, longer days. So what we're looking to do in the fall, in September, is to combine 3-4s and 5. And then offer kindergarten credits in the afternoon. So it will be an extended day, but actually it also allows us to offer that program both from without canceling. Montessori, for anyone who doesn't know, actually offers 2-5-year-olds all in the same class, which is a little foreign to what we've traditionally done. So it is commonplace in early childhood. We're going to continue to monitor it for the long term. GAK is also telling us that their enrollment is dipping and their interest is dipping. But really, we're hearing parents saying that they don't have the flexibility to drop off or enrichments, drop off at preschool. They don't get back in the office for 4 days a week. So I think the trend we saw before COVID towards full day is back, and we're going to have to adjust operations accordingly where we can. Just a note, I think some of you may know or know that we're actually in a lockdown drill on Monday. With their security consultants, so it's only going to be an early childhood wing. We're getting ahead of that. It's probably something that's going to be mandatory coming out of DCFS in the future. We're going to try to make it as calm as possible and use this as an opportunity to get feedback from staff and reports, follow our emergency action plan. We're going to start in the morning at 7 or 9 o'clock with the call and think drill. So, hey, where you're at, think about what you would do in a situation, and then later that morning, we would go into the full drill. Where there's not really any threats, but we just sort of follow the plan, probably last for 10, 15 minutes, make sure the doors are working, they need to be, all our protocols are working, and then submit, get feedback from staff on how it went, what they could hear, what they couldn't hear. A couple other things, GBA has a new board, all volunteers, and obviously when you have a new board, all volunteers, you get some growing pains, so I think they're trying to find their footing in terms of the expectations of the community and being organized. We're hearing a little bit of work with them to make sure they're trying to stay on top of their organization and their scheduling. So if you hear anything, that they're trying their best, but it's always a little rocky when we get new volunteers. So we appreciate all their work, so we're working with them. Great event, 63 people signed up for Chase the Panda on Friday, which is going to be on the Green Bay Trail out here, so I don't know if you saw the video. I'll be dressed in panda costume and the kids will be.
I was wondering
if it was good. Yeah. A lot of fun. So we're excited about that. It's a free event, again, with the mission of getting kids out, running, being active. And then we were a day cleaning up on Saturday, too, starting at 10 o'clock. So lots of volunteers, hopefully, turn up for that. We're going to focus on the beach and the wildfire sanctuary. So hopefully, we'll see people there. So we'll get back up.
You can sign up at the last minute for Panda Runner soon, right?
Okay. So Bobby alluded to GJK and having some enrollment problems also. So they have been in conversation with us trying to lower their rent or be, have other creative opportunities. And so we sat down with Commissioner Spain and explained why they pay what they do, a spell that which we have to do every time they have a new board, and to really show them that we're actually subsidizing them a little bit as we go, and that we really cannot lower their rent. So I just want to make you all aware in case you hear that. The other thing they wanted to do was us to lease land to them to build their own facility, which we said, you know, we don't believe the board would be in favor of that, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no appetite to lease land to build a private preschool on, right?
No.
Okay.
Full disclosure, so the president is Ava, my daughter's best friend.
Oh.
So just full disclosure. So
she's very nice.
She didn't be involved in any discussions about it. She did ask me about the contract, and I was very clear that we need them less than we need us. So I was pretty clear that we can use that. We can use those services.
We want to be good partners, and we don't want to obviously exclude them, but we also feel very strongly that we should not subsidize their preschool. And we believe they may have made choices in the past, such as giving their part-time staff full insurance, and they didn't adjust their tuition to go along with those big-ticket items like we did. We did that. We added health care to some, and we raised our rates to the point where our rates aren't that far off from their rates anymore. So they had just haven't gone up with inflation. So I just wanted to make you aware, just in case there's the park district's, you know, not helping us. We're trying to. We're talking to them. We're giving them advice.
Yeah, I still think
we are.
Dollars or just like the playground, like to get a place in the playground to secure it.
Oh yeah.
Well, I know Bobby and Lisa had conversations with them prior to the one I was in, but I think the math is very clear. The presentation was clear. You know, we stuck to the facts and how we, you know, treat, you know, third-party vendors. And Lisa explained this. I don't think the meeting wasn't like a tense.
Yeah.
You know, it was more of like this, their staff, and I think they wanted to ask, because I think if you were in that position, you'd ask too. But I didn't think it left with a bitter taste.
I don't think so at all. Yeah,
that was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. Once we explained it, which is usually what happens, they're like, oh, all that goes into it. They don't realize everything we do for the organization, and try to make it clear that, you know, if we subsidize you, then we have to subsidize every nonprofit. It's not really fair. So
yeah,
when we offer the same program.
For example, like when we did the playground, you know, we had conversations with the board at that time about what that cost and their allocation of time to it. I think one of the issues that we still alluded to is that there's turnover on the board, so they don't know what passports agreed on for the future.
Yeah, that is one of the hardest things. With any volunteer board, right, we're having the same growing pains in GBA. What's happening now is what happened 5 years ago in the other board, and we're trying to communicate very well with them, because sometimes mistakes on their end, I guess, get blamed on us. So we're just really trying to help them, making sure they're staying on top so that hopefully nothing falls through the cracks. So. All right, so I just wanted to make you up today in that, and we just wanted to make sure that everybody was on the same board about that request, that latest request.
I mean, I'm assuming there's no benefit to that, right?
There's no benefit whatsoever, yeah. Taking away public land for a private preschool. When we have space here for them, they just don't want to pay the, I guess it would cost.
It's similar to your very similar preschool tech program, too, so I might was only something, so we'd be subsidized to something competing with that again.
There's no land anywhere.
I guess I have a question. So the Children's Circle, we have wait lists, but it's open to non-residents. In terms of the wait list, I'm assuming residents get. So
right.
The people that are choosing to do the ELC program or need more hours, because Children's Circle is at capacity, they have to go to Montessori. that kind of situation.
Yeah, we're going to go through options for a 7-day.
Uh-huh.
So that seems to be one of the corrections seeing, because it is 2.5 to 3-hour day or half day.
And Montessori, their hours are what?
Yeah, normally 9 to 3, since that's the day. Okay. Which is not an operator, but it's easier to fill a day if you have somebody pick up at 3 o'clock. GJK has also talked about extending the day, because people want to extend the day, and there's a lot of DCFS requirements when you work 4 hours a day. So that opens up another NAPS catered food requirements for the size of the classroom. So they have to make a capital investment. I think they have to have a really good look at their pricing.
I guess one of my questions on that is, wow, there's really a need. And it doesn't seem like anyone's stepping up to address it or can.
How many people are on our waiting list?
So we basically have closed. So it's very tricky. We don't maintain a long waiting list because especially if you grow out of it, you don't get onto it. So the waiting list is actually pretty minimal because we're not giving people expectations that they're going to get in. What ends up happening is the non-residents who are in the program right now are grandfathered in because they've got children in there, and they've had more children, and that's how they, if you're in the program and your child, you have another child, you automatically kind of move up for somebody not in. So we haven't graduated a lot of people out of the program, but we're still seeing big calls all the time for space. Our challenge is the wing. If we go over 100, we become a super center, which escalates our prices, so we're going to have to add another on-site director. If we were to expand the multi-purpose wing, we would then have to have only licensed programs in there, which is an option, but that reduces the opportunities to do enrichments, any after-school programs. We would also have to retrofit classrooms and bathrooms specifically required. And we're not really seeing the demand for 3s and 4s, we're really seeing the demand for the through 18 months. When we'll get down there, they're all just staying there.
Yeah, I do get frustration from residents sometimes. Unfortunately, sometimes I'm very close to driving me crazy. And my father, who drives me crazy every time he sees me because it's a family member. I think that on that report where you said more transparency to it would help, because I don't think that an understanding is there. And I think that non-resident factor does frustrate.
I think we can do some good work there to make it more transparent and educate. It's not an easy task to do, but it's a lot of moving parts because you're required to move your children in 15 months. So you may be top of the list, but then if you are nowhere to go, you can't stay on that wait list because you're not able to move out of that room. So it becomes a little logistically challenging, but we can do a better job, I think.
I'm just explaining it, and I think people feel that frustration, like, well, there's not even a list, like, you know. They want more
explanation. Same as the GJK. Yep, it's a perpetual problem.
Yep. All right. Any other questions on that report? Okay.
Okay, so I think we're on to additional action items. I'm just going to find my place in the packet so I can follow along. Okay, so I entertain a motion to approve the updated board policy manual as presented.
Second.
Any discussion?
We do have discussion. I think you sent an email today.
No, yesterday.
Oh, yesterday?
Yep.
Okay, I did not.
Or was it the day before? I don't know. But I did, yeah.
Can we just take a 5-minute and walk through those answers? I know I have it somewhere, but I didn't get a chance to read it.
Okay, give me 1 second to pull it up.
I think I don't check my, I still have a hard time seeing my, I can't access the Glenham Park District from the computer, so I don't get a computer, so I sent it out to them.
You
no, I got to say 417. So
that 16, I think.
That was a different. Right. That was a different letter.
That was.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Yeah.
It would be yesterday. Okay, so.
So we're good with the.
No, that's not.
The first one is. So are other park districts moving from 25 to 30,000 as well?
Oh yeah, it would be. Okay. Yeah, it's with inflation. Yeah, that's that state law changed. So that's what you want to do.
You know. Okay. The 3 to 5 years. I'll let other folks comment on it. To me, you did this every 2 years, and now it was every 2 years, right?
No, it's every 3 to 5 years.
No, it's every 3 to 5.
Accreditation requires every 5 years you do a full review. So what we do is that.
Well, what was it in our manual that you redlined?
People.
I thought it was.
You were asking to go to 2 to 4 versus 3 to 5. Right now it's 3 to 5.
You know, my pain was
on. I thought you swapped it. That's why I was asking why we. It was. I mean, not too many red lines.
You said you suggest every 2 to 4 years versus 3 to 5.
In the administrative manual?
Policy, the board policy manual. You suggest you review board policies every 2 to 4 years versus 3 to 5, which
right.
Was in the
rule. Every 2. And that's why I was.
That's not how this reads. Your question read. Okay, we'll look at it.
Yeah. So, Bobby,
yep.
If you go up
to review
the changes, you say next. No, go ahead and reject.
Yeah.
Next.
There you
go. Just bring it again. Just keep going until you get down there. Next. Let's just get survey there. Yeah. A lot of visitors. Okay,
they're back.
Yeah.
So it was every 2 years.
Yeah.
And now you're switching to 3 to 5.
Yeah.
I don't mind 3 to 5. I just want to put it out there that that means that you will have a cycle where a board member that has voted in for 4 years may not review it. Totally fine. It just seems a little. Just want to make sure everyone's aware of that.
So what happens is we haven't been doing that in 2 years. In reality, and what happens is when you come on the board, you get the copy of the board policy manual. I go through all the items, the significant items. I just say don't go through each one, or you all kill me. And then, so everybody reviews, everybody gets a copy, they're asked to read it, to review it. Anytime there's a change in a law or stuff, we do update that item.
Yeah.
We're recommending a full review 3 to 5 years. It's very tedious process, but that doesn't mean you won't get other items every year.
It just seemed like you were going from 2 up to 5 to
yeah.
So 2.5.
It's more realistic. It's more realistic.
I want to make sure everyone was aware of that. I'm fine with it. Just worthy of highlighting.
Number 3 was the shift in the policy in 7.10.
Yep. There's nothing happened. And I put it down in the email.
That's going to be a long one.
Yeah.
7.10.
Yeah.
It was an ordinance the board already passed. It just never made it into the board policy manual. So that's what it is.
Okay.
So there's no change. There's nothing happened. It was just a previous one that never made it in here.
That's fine. And then the last one was, I think, an easy one. It just seemed like obvious, which is we're going to comply with rules.
So we're going to keep that. I recommend keeping that in strongly because the policy to sell land is so long. We didn't put it in there, and so what we're saying is, okay, anytime we sell land, we're going to go back to whatever the legal determination is and go through that. So that's why we put that in. I didn't want to put the whole law in there, and because it does change every now and then, so it's just easier to say that. So it kind of makes the board go back to look at the law to know there's a law that we have to follow. Good question, so.
I appreciate your attention to detail.
I know. I do, too.
Fine. I like that stuff. I'm a good redliner. Okay. I'm good with all that.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah, so we were doing it line by line. So, or this is the board one. So,
roll call?
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yeah.
Thanks, Bobby.
I entertain a motion to approve the updated administrative policy and procedure manual as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. I entertain a motion to approve the updated finance policy and procedure manual as presented. Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Jacoby?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. Motion passes.
Don't get too excited, but you have like three more to do.
Very excited.
We have the personal policy manual in Ordinance 700 that will be passed out soon.
I entertain a motion to approve the settlement offer for pending tax rate adjustment cases for 2010 to the 2014 tax year as presented.
Second.
Any discussion?
I have no idea.
So no, so this has been going on before I even started here this year. So people do tax evictions, their taxes are raised, and they will object to those taxes. Our lawyers fight them, whatever. It takes an extremely long time, and so now they're agreeing to this settlement.
Got it. Okay.
Happens every year.
Okay.
It just takes, they're so backlogged.
10 years.
Yeah, 10 years later. It's incredible. So that's what they're recommending, and Carrie Lynn knows her stuff. So.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Jacoby?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve addition of tree preservation and tree protection to Conduct Ordinance 700 as presented.
So
do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, well, I'm going to give it to Schneider.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Jacoby?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
President Spain?
Yes. Motion passes.
Because do
we have any other business?
We do. I just have one little thing on here. We had a resident request to rent the beach. It's a not normal rental. They want to do it. It's after Labor Day, September 7th, I believe, Saturday the 7th. It would require that we, on that Saturday, close the beach to all public for a portion of the time, and part of the beach Friday and Sunday for takedown. So if someone would like to rent it to do their birthday party for 200 people and bring a big band in. So kind of like what happened here, but down at the beach. And we would charge them a nice fee. So I just wanted to know if the board, they requested years ago, or 2 years ago, I think, to use it Labor Day, and we said no. And then
definitely not Labor Day, sir. Is it the same person? Yeah.
No. From
two years here?
Oh, different person that rented here. Okay. Same person as 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah. But now it's after Labor Day. We said no during Labor Day. Obviously, we're not closing beach. But the beach technically is closed to. It'd be like a $30,000.
Yeah.
So it's technically like taxes are over.
Yes.
Season is over. It's usually
nice weather now. That's kind of one reason I object to it, is because of the time you can go on a Saturday if you're not a pass holder. It's still nice out.
It's also $30,000 that would look really nice on your budget. But yes, I hear you.
And a potential to.
It's going to piss somebody.
I think
and
if you
want to listen to the band. The neighbors, is that going to be annoying to you?
We, one or two neighbors, are going to want that. I think it's a good proof of concept if we ever want to do something bigger on the beach. So that's one thing we were thinking is, hey, what can we actually do with that view down there? You are going to get people on.
My problem with it is it's not transparent enough on the onset. If we were to go out there and say, hey, look, we've got a new board policy out there that says you can rent the beach for $35,000.
Mm-hmm.
You can rent it between September 10th to October, whatever the dates are that aren't season pass holders, and we put it out there so that anybody can do it, I'd be okay with it. But I struggle with the fact that someone's walking up with a check to a public entity and saying close this down, just only open to the public, and there's no public awareness of it, I struggle with it. So if you want to do a proof of concept like that, and again, we're five people, so y'all can vote how you want to vote, but I personally would like to see you put that in the back of our guide that, hey, some of our facilities are available, including our beach, these are the pricing, these are the dates it's available. And so it's a little bit more publicly known because it seems like it's going to a back door.
I don't see it as a backdoor because we don't get this many requests. So when they come up, I bring them to the board. So it doesn't happen very often.
Have we the past
record,
the beach up?
Yes, for filming. There's been filmmakers that come after mostly after season. Filming, I guess, is a private event, right? And so it can be noisy or whatever. So private with a big band. With this, probably, I don't know, not at my time.
No, we get requests all the time during the season for weddings and things like that, but obviously we're not going to do that. This is the first real serious one outside of the season. That was the only real reason we were considering it, because we wouldn't close the beach down because of the operation.
I think I have a particular issue with it being the beach. Like, if it were a facility that's one thing, but it's just like, something that, well, I think the lakefront should just be public access. And the fact that somebody can claim a natural resource, public natural resource for themselves is a little, I don't know, it just gets grossing the wrong way, and I kind of don't like the inequality of it. Like, I just don't like the idea of somebody being able to pay a government entity $30,000. It just seems like we shouldn't be offering things at that price point.
We don't even know if that's the price, so we're just throwing that out. Park districts do it all the time. They rent out their fields for big tournaments, you know, private tournaments that come in. So, well, organizations, not necessarily to individual.
Yeah. I mean, the challenge is that we.
It's up to you.
This is such a uniquely Glencoe thing. It's not like we're a full net where you have two beaches or a big enough beach. Could you, I'm sure the answer is no. Could you rent out just the building side?
No, it wouldn't be big enough.
Yours?
It's not big enough. Yeah, no, that was my question.
It wouldn't be big enough with all the boats stored there. Yeah, the boats are all stored there.
You're leaving the boat house open.
Yeah, we keep it open.
The beach side would be used.
Yeah, because I think exactly how you feel as well. It's like, if you close down this, imagine it's a bad summer and it's really rainy, and then all of a sudden September's beautiful, and the one day or a few weeks you can you close down half of it?
So that's the next question. Because he didn't say close the beach, he said, I'm like, how is it going to work? If we closed half the beach, and people would say, you can have half the beach, have the band set up, have a little fence around where the band is so people can get real close, but the rest has to stay open to the public. Would that change your mind?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I would tell them those are the parameters.
Yeah, like if it's at night, mostly,
the setup is going to be the hard part. There's going to be trucks coming, there's going to be stage companies. Yeah. They're not going to be able to drive a traditional stage down there, so they're going to have to set it up. So I think you're going to be talking about a Friday, Saturday setup.
Take down.
Does Wilmette do this? Like, why do they live in Glencoe as opposed to?
Because they live in Glencoe. Yeah.
It's a resident who loves the beach.
And wants to, he really would love to do, I think, a community concert down there eventually. He had sponsored a community concert downtown. It just, we said it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
We would not. He first approached us for that location, and we said no, because it was open to the public.
That's what I was thinking, because I remember that one.
Yeah.
So the village gave him that land, the parking lot, and there was a lot of
traffic.
So I don't think
it was
a fun night,
though.
It was. I think if it was a non-resident, obviously I don't think we would consider it, but this is a resident that's involved in the community that's going to give back in other ways and that.
But is that transparent? Like, if it's a private event, like, I feel like with the other concert, it's very advertised.
We had to buy tickets, we had to do that, right? So.
It'd be more like an expanded trellis rental for not the whole beach closed down. So
just a portion?
Like a portion.
As long as the public has some access. And again, it might not be that busy. And it might be more of a weather.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so cold. Yeah.
It could be. The way our weather has been, it's been nice.
Yeah, I mean, it looks more different in my opinion than someone renting the trellis, and you rent that out, and that's a little private area, you know. So I don't mind.
It would just be more cumbersome of all the equipment coming down. It would be a little noisier and stuff like that, so you'd have to know that.
You can work that
through.
And they want it on a Saturday night, or they want it on Friday night?
Saturday night.
So they thought it would be Friday, it would still be open, it just would be kind of noisy and.
Yeah. What hours are we talking here?
We haven't. I'm sure it's. We would say it has to be done by 10, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, the noise, like the police would come in.
Yeah.
Right. I'd be more lenient if there was availability for others, although I still think you'd have that optics of like even fly to the beach, but I guess buy anything. And act like in detail here, can we, if you keep half the beach open, let's say we do half, do the public area get to use the facilities, or the facilities completely shut off for the private party? So that's
it's
a good question.
We have to figure out what the scope of the project.
Right.
My experience with a couple of bigger, especially one last year, the scope tends to grow. Going from, you know, 1 or 2 to 4 days of a project. So we would have to have those conversations. We're looking for more of a framework or guidance.
Yeah. Just, would you entertain it? We'll work out the details. Would you entertain it?
Private party, but like, I think shutting down the beach is just. It hurts the residents. The residents are already so upset that we don't give them, you know, free access to the beach during the season. Like, I think the takeaway at the end of the day is free access to the beach in kind of a COVID season. Just go.
If the bathrooms aren't available at night, that's one.
6 weeks before what?
2 months.
Before our referendum.
Yeah.
How many people do we say this is supposed to be?
200.
It would have the beach.
Yes. Yeah, the design.
At night, you're not going to get that many people down there that aren't going to.
But would it be closed off during the day when they're setting up?
No, we'd have to make sure it's open when they're setting up.
Yeah.
The road might be closed for a few minutes getting stuff down, but they could not close it. We would not close the beach during the day when they're setting up, no.
I didn't pick up on the nuance. Would you feel the same if it was like only closed from 6 to 10 p.m.? I would not feel, I'd be much more okay if it was 6 to 10 p.m. at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was a day, and I was like, nice weather during the day. Your request is that the beach be closed for set up that whole day.
Yeah. No, he didn't. Yeah. No, it was not. That was not the request. The partial closure.
Partial closure
for setup. I don't even know what that. We haven't discussed the time of the event, but that's where I need feedback from you. Is if you're like, we'll be fine closing the beach down from 6 to 10 for the party, and then partial closure to setup. Then I go back, and this is what the board can live with.
I thought you meant the whole day, so I feel much more comfortable with the 6 to 10, close the beach down, and then that means that some of the beach is accessible to the residents between the normal hours until 6 p.m. I'm fine. I think at that point, at 6 p.m., beach is closed, facilities are for this private party, they have security, they have wristbands.
That was going to be another concern with security. I mean, it's one thing if it's here in a private home, but I feel like you have to have police.
We will require that, and they will, I'm sure they want that, so they would provide that, not us. Okay, so I'll keep you posted as we go along, but I just want to know if proof of concept if you're fine. Other than that, I'm on vacation and out of the country tomorrow through Sunday for a wedding. Yeah, it'll be fun. A lot of weddings coming up. So Deputy Director Collins will be in charge.
Alright, update is placard.
We do. Well, we have no one to do it right now, but it will get updated. All right, that's all I have.
One last just an observation.
Sure, please.
Beach meadow.
Yeah.
Where it's the number one asset, so I get in the recent survey of people going, this is the most important thing the park district has, whatever. At the same time, I just checked the new career calendar schedule, and school starts on the 21st. So this is more than 2 weeks after school starts, and my experience is, beach usage on the weekend after school starts tends to be pretty low. I don't know. So
it's all weather dependent.
I don't think it's definitive, but I get more comfort. I'm not ready to say yes, but I get more comfort knowing it's a few weeks after school starts.
I think it's Saturday night after school has started at 6 p.m. I'm with you, Mark. I think there's not a lot of But demand is much lower. But during the day,
it sounds like we closed during the day for seven.
No, partially closed.
Oh, okay.
We're saying, I think what, not to put words in our mouth, but if you can keep the beach, at least parts of it, open for public consumption
during the day,
we are okay closing it at 6 p.m., 100% closure for this park.
Okay, so I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So,
second.
All in favor?
And it's 8:36.
Nice job.
Very good job.